Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
You feel yourself being pulled deeper and deeper into a place that you know no one can really escape in better shape than they entered.
Bennett Miller's Oscar-nominated film, Foxcatcher, retells the tragic story of eccentric millionaire John DuPont's relationship with a pair of wrestlers, the brothers Mark and Dave Schultz.
You have any idea who I am? Some rich guy calls you on the phone and wants to speak with you about what you hope to achieve.
Vice's Eddie Moretti sat down with the cast, Mark Ruffalo, Channing Tatum, and Steve Carell, to discuss the movie.
Nice to meet you guys. Thanks for talking to me. When I first saw the film, which was, you know, a long time ago, I walked out thinking it's like a great American novel. There's all this iconography behind John and around John, the eagles and everything.
All everywhere.
Everywhere. And also, like, he's, like, obsessed with, like, I want some American military here. It just feels like their film is somewhat of a comment on American exceptionalism.
I gotta be honest, I was just taking care of my character and just trying to service that and just try to just keep digging on Mark. I can't really say that I had some message to say about America.
I think that's in great part what these two characters bond over, and it's a missing piece for each of them. I mean, I think they respond to one another in part because they're speaking the same language, specifically in terms of that, America needs to be on top, as they always have been and right, should continue to be. And wrestling, at least in DuPont's mind, was a way to facilitate that. And in Mark and in Dave, DuPont felt that this was the way to make America that great in the eyes of the world. So, yeah, I think it's definitely one of the themes in the movie. But I'm with Channing. Like, I didn't enter into this thinking of the themes necessarily.
Do you have any idea why I asked you to come here today?
No.
Well, Mark, do you have any idea who I am?
No.
Some rich guy calls you on the phone. I want Mark Schultz to come visit me. Well, I'm a wrestling coach, and I have a deep love for the sport of wrestling. And I wanted to speak with you about your future, about what you hope to achieve. What do you hope to achieve, Mark?
Your characters have so much purpose in life, right? You want to win, and you want to win this tournament, and you want to have families. And your character, John DuPont, really doesn't have a purpose and is trying to, like, construct one and, like, put one into the middle of his life.
I believe he thinks he has a purpose. Mm-hmm. His purpose is to be the leader of great men.
In America, yeah.
In America.
In America.
And it's interesting you bring up the idea of America. And that theme, I think, was very prevalent when this premiered at Cannes.
Right.
When the discussions focused on that more than anywhere else we have gone with the movie. I think that will be a theme that strikes people, pops out.
And how was that screening at Cannes?
The idea of walking in and they applaud you before, like, the movie plays.
It's that doesn't count as much.
Well, it's almost like for those who are about to die.
Right? Yeah. Like, you know, we salute you.
And then they close the door on you inside there. Yeah, they stand on the end and let you leave.
You cannot get in or out of that theater in the Grand Palais once the doors are closed.
It was extreme. It was extreme, and I'm sure it's extreme for everybody, you know, on some level. But it was, I feel like I should never go back. I feel like it's
the same way.
I feel like I walked into the casino at Bellagio, put everything I had on black, won, and I should never, ever come back. So I'll be the only person on earth to not have lost.
Where does this film fit in your careers?
A career is this kind of journey that you take that you really don't know where the destination is going to lead you. Mm. And some ups and some downs and some, you know, nothings.
A lot of nothings.
A lot of nothings. As far as the whole career goes, who knows? But I'm just know that I'm feel very honored. You stretched.
Yeah.
We all, like, I know for a fact we all grew.
I stretched watching it, dude. Yeah. Honestly.
Sure. It was a very difficult experience, too. And we were all struggling the whole time. And so, you know, I'm happy to see it embraced the way it is, has been embraced.
How do you feel about Bennett now? I think this film makes him a bona fide American auteur.
I mean, I knew what he was after, and the enormity of it. Sometimes I cursed him for it because he made me feel uncomfortable, or challenged me in ways that I didn't want to be challenged.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for him, and know for a fact that that guy, you know, he's just as contorted as we are. I mean, he's struggling with it, and really opening, tearing himself wide open.
How did he get you guys involved?
I had talked to him almost 7 years ago about this film, and I'd just done one film at the time, really of any amount of, like, I guess, really character or substance, I think. And I read the script, and he told me about the character, and I just... I got to be honest. I didn't get it. Like, I didn't understand why to do the film.
It just didn't on the page. It just was.
I don't know. I think I was such a green actor, and I didn't know very much about stories or movies or you know. And just being honest, like, I was like, I don't know what the lessons are that my character comes away with at the end of this movie, and
because that's what they tell you you're supposed to look for, right?
I guess
the character arc, and what's
I think and Bennett was a different person then, and he kind of weirded me out. I was like, who is this guy? Even though, like, I understood him and everything he was saying, like, I was just like, I don't know if I can go on this walk right now. I think it ultimately was just something very cosmic about it. And Bennett really kind of, I think he helped me usher in a different understanding about what I'm doing or what I want to do.
And how did you get involved?
I wasn't on any list, I think, in Bennett's head. And my agent suggested me to him. And I think...
Your agent is a genius.
It gave him pause, and we met and talked about it and hit it off. It's the first time I've ever talked to anyone and then done something, and it's exactly how he described it would be. Even the experience. He said it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a struggle. Because we're going to be finding this as we go, and but even specific scenes, he imagined them in front of me and just laid them out in such a specific way And when I saw the movie, they were exactly as he described them.
I think we'll give it to the Children's Museum if they have room. Do you agree?
I don't care what you do with the train set. I don't care about trains. Mother, I am leading men. I am training them. I am teaching them. I am giving them a dream. And I am giving America hope.
Hope. It doesn't matter. I'm glad you have your trophy. It can go in the trophy room, not in the Rosemont case. I don't like the sport of wrestling, as you know. It's a low sport. And I don't like to see you being low.
He had such a specific idea going in that I thought we would be just fulfilling his vision.
Right, like... But Hitch, it never, like what, the way Hitchcock would have directed you, which is just do this, look
just
over
do
here.
Do this because
you know,
this is
I
what
got, I got. Yeah, I've got it.
This is what the storyboard says in my
Don't
mind,
worry.
And I want to look at you doing this in the movie. And it never felt that way.
Right.
It was quite the opposite. Every day felt like we were deconstructing
right.
it and putting it back together. At the end of the day, it might be a completely different, maybe the same scene, but all of the intentions had shifted within it, but it still was what he was
right.
going for from the very beginning.
Right.
It kind of was a miracle. I don't know. I don't know how he does it.
You're going to also challenge your audience. The world knows you as a certain kind of actor
mm-hmm.
in certain kind of roles. And so when you first appeared on camera, I'm like, what the is that, Steve? You know, like the transformation was so, and that's. You're going to have that effect on the country, on the world, you know. Is that something you were looking for?
Well, first, I don't think of having an audience, my audience.
People know you.
But I don't choose to do things based on what I see as their perception of me.
Right.
I don't, not that I don't care, but I don't think that can dictate the kind of choices that you make because
right.
Then you're just making the wrong sort of choices for the wrong reasons.
Right.
I certainly didn't do it to prove anything to anyone. It was, or even to myself. It was just a great opportunity to, you know, to act in something that was intense and I'd never done anything that was based on a true story.
True story.
So there's an added responsibility there and an added level of gravitas to it.
How was that for all of you? Like, there were real people behind the scenes.
Some of it was the most valuable, I guess, things that I gathered up along the way. And a lot of it was very hard and confusing to deal with, you know.
Was he protective
bit.
Over the portrayal
no.
or the story? Or
I mean, I guess appropriately so. Not like, overly protective.
Was he worried?
I'm sure, as you would be. And he should be. You know, this is his. You only get to tell it once, in a way. And but he was so open and would tell me essentially anything that I would ask. I had carte blanche. I mean, I could just do anything and ask anything. And he would, you know, be as, I think, open and honest as someone that is inside of something as they can be.
How close are those moments in the film to, you know, the real events?
Mark would tell me that he would punish himself after he would lose to such a great degree that punishment would be worse than whatever he was going through
during the
yeah. match. And so that was just my interpretation of whatever that would look like.
What do you make of this weird character, John DuPont?
The reality of what you can research on DuPont is, frankly, much more eccentric than is displayed in the movie. But at a certain point, you would stop believing it in terms of a film in 2 hours. I think, and Bennett could speak to this better than I could, but I think you might question why he was able to gather these people around him and essentially gain confidences with this kind of eccentric behavior. So DuPont's behavior in the film is actually quite subdued. That scene in the helicopter, when the cocaine is revealed, it's not revealed in any grand cinematic way. It's very subtle. It just sort of happens.
That's what makes it so weird, though, that it feels like, oh, okay, this is what billionaire eccentrics do. They just get in their chopper to go and hang out and give a speech and do a couple of bumps along the way, have a vodka. Like, it's just so bizarre. Yeah. It's such a weird world. You know, the film portrays the weirdest world I've seen in film in a long time.
But I don't think it points to it.
No.
I don't think there's anything gratuitous about the weirdness. No. It's just it's just a world. At a moment like that, it just gets a little bit darker, but subtly darker. But you feel yourself, at least when I first saw it, you feel yourself being pulled deeper and deeper into a place that you know no one can really escape in better shape than they entered.
Right.
It's going to be pretty bad.
Well, how is it for you? Because you're creating a character, from, I guess, some other types of shards. The film takes pains to make you know that he loves his family so much.
Yes.
He has the successful family that the other characters don't have.
I think he cherished his family, and he gets put in this terrible position. Me and Bennett would talk about just modernity. It's a shame that you have to choose between this little family and this bigger family.
Right.
But he sort of has to make this choice. Dave's family survives him. So Nancy survives him.
Yeah.
Alexander survives him. Danny survives him. Those people are alive today. And you can't forget that this is their story. You don't ever want to feel like you're sensationalizing what's really costly to people. And so you're walking very gently through their lives.
Even in the honesty, it's got to be so difficult because in a way I was devastated when Dave decides that he has to go to Foxcatcher because the offer is good.
It's the terrible circumstances that they're all under. And it was idyllic up until this turn. I mean, they had everything they needed. It was this beautiful place to live. John did provide them with their dream. Yeah. They had wrestlers coming in from all over the world. It was really a special place.
Yeah.
And it actually went for a lot longer than what probably the film, makes it feel like. The film kind of
It feels concentrated.
Like, yeah, but it was really over like
seven years, almost 10.
10 years and living in the orbit of this guy.
It just got worse and worse. Like, it got really bad. It got worse and worse.
Right.
And Dave was very close to John. Dave was the one person who would say, John, you got to stop that.
Yeah,
you're drinking too much, or people say that he was probably John's closest. One person to be honest with John.
In the film, it's Dave that John wants, right? First. And then Mark becomes the second, like the surrogate to get Dave to Foxcatcher. Why is Dave the object of John's obsession?
Dave was a kind of legendary coach. And he was also widely loved inside the wrestling community. He was kind of this mythical figure. I think, Mark was really probably the more gifted. But Dave was like kind of being groomed to be the great coach. But he was also a magnet to wrestlers.
Yeah.
They loved him and they wanted to work with him. They wanted to be with him. And so if you're going to put together a team, that's kind of the guy you want to have around.
Right. Right.
And it legitimizes John. You know, there is that scene where I was like, hey, do we need to worry about this guy? And Dave says, no, he's okay.
Yeah.
We're going to make this work.
Hey, John,
really sorry about your mother.
Oh, no. It's fine. Yes.
You sure?
David, you have a lot of work to do in the next couple of months. And you're an integral part of that. You understand?
I understand.
I'm going to need you. And I will be relying on you to a great extent. I want, more than anything, to win a gold medal. And we have someone who could do that.
We're going to win a gold medal, John.
How are you feeling?
I feel very good about it.
I'm a little concerned that there are some psychological issues that we need to take care of.
I think he's going to be in real good shape.
Well, I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you, John.
And I think that with you and I working in tandem, if we can't get him there, no one can. All right. Get back.
Okay.
Here's a guy who wants more than anything to be loved and respected. He wanted the kind of adoration that was afforded to Dave. That he was not a leader of men. He was not a magnet in any way. He was sort of repellent. Mm-hmm. And much of his inner circle, if not all of it, were people that he'd hired to be there. He didn't have a lot of close associates.
Wow. Like furniture, basically.
It was sad. In my mind, it's a very sad place to exist because ultimately you don't have a safety net around you. You don't have people. Aside from, ironically, Dave, he didn't have people that could be honest and say, you need help or you shouldn't do that. I never thought of him as a villain going in. I never considered it that way. I think he's a very sad guy and tortured and complicated and the product of several things, some of them being his upbringing, his mental state, which is open to conjecture. But you can't judge, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing you learn acting-wise. You can't pass any judgment on a character that you're going to play.
There's more physical transformation, you know, facially for you than the other actors. Did you come up with, let's do this with the nose and the teeth? Because you don't, you know, it's different than what John looked like. And I've seen, you know, and I'm like, that's different. It's an interpretation of what John was.
Right.
So how did that, like, well, and the was, voice, like...
That was Bill Corso.
Yeah,
he's a makeup artist, and he over several months, it wasn't just showing up on set and sticking some prosthetics on. He really designed it and took great pains to camera test and to... DuPont had a very specific look and had a very...
idiosyncratic way of talking.
Oh,
and like,
definitely. I mean, and all of those things combined had an effect on the people around him. So that's what we were going for. It seems outrageous to put a big nose on a character, but DuPont had a very large nose, and it was kind of shocking in person. And that, you know, and that had an effect on the people around it. It certainly had an effect when I got into all that makeup and was around everybody on set.
How did it make you feel?
Well, ostracized. People definitely kept me at a distance. And people didn't respond to me in at all the same way.
How proud are you of having pulled that off?
Gosh, I guess I just don't think of it that way. I'm proud to be a part of this. I just don't think of it in terms of like the singularity of my component of the movie. I'm happy that I was given that opportunity, but I just generally don't sit back and revel in anything that I've done.
You guys transformed in this film.
I'll say I'm thankful if it works. I'm thankful if people can will buy into it.
The suspension of disbelief is
if they accept it, that's great.
I bought it.
I bought it.
Yeah. Right? Isn't that amazing though? And how hard was that for you guys? I know the wrestling was hard.
It was. I've done a lot of physical things and nothing measures up to it.
What do I say to Bennett then on Monday?
I think you should play chess with him. Huh? I think you should play chess. Do you play chess?
I haven't in a long time.
I think you should play chess with him.
Why?
Nothing's fixed.
Yeah.
All the variables are there, and he's in really, really that's what deep he did inside
with,
of it.
That's what he did with you guys. And that's what he did with the film.
Are you a pawn or a rook?
I don't even know, man. I'm probably not even on the board. I'm sitting on the sideline.
We all were in his chess game.
I think he's happy.
He's super proud.
Yeah, he's very proud.
I don't think very many directors could have the time that he had to edit this without at some point being sort of diminishing in the return of it. I don't know that many people that could live inside of a movie this long and still be productive.
You know, there are four, to use the chess metaphor, there are four chess pieces in this artwork. It's Bennett, but it's the three of you, and it's an incredible achievement. The film is astonishing. So amazing.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
And thanks for talking to me.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.